winning. No, not to run home. I've been paid by heartache, and I've been stoned by loved ones. Oh, with just a little sunshine. I've had mountains all in my life, so hard to climb, but I promise I keep on climbing. Oh, if you only, oh, let me stand, and I would be willing.
Family and friends, we praise the Lord this morning for his goodness towards us and also our neighbors, all of you who are chiming in with us, joining us on our podcast gathering. Thank you for joining us this morning. We realize it's been a rough week this week, and we've had the snow and the ice and shortages in various areas, but God has still brought us through. And we say, thank you, God, for your goodness towards us. And we just continue to pray that God will work things out in places where we don't have enough food or enough water, where the vaccines have been temporarily put on hold, that God will allow those things to again begin to come to us soon, today or next week. So we thank God for that in advance. In just a moment, we're going to give it over to Cheryl for our prayer. We ask that as she prays, that she will be praying with us this morning, that God will be with us in this time together and will bless and make fruitful our time together. And we know that God is a God that answers prayer. If you just trust him, he's able to answer our prayer and to do what we would have him to do, which is according to his will. So let me give it over to Cheryl for our prayer upon this morning.
Thank you. Amen. Good morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord, we love you this morning. We praise you for your faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. We bless your name this morning for God, for your goodness this week, and with all the things that challenges that we faced this week. We thank you that we didn't unravel. We thank you, God, that we didn't break, but your strength was amazing. We're thankful that your provision was amazing. We saw your hand of goodness even this week amidst the challenges and amidst the storms and all that was going on. We thank you that we found peace right in the middle of the storm. So we thank you, God, for your amazing strength during this time. We thank you that your word even said to us in our weakest moments that your strength is made perfect. And God, we thank you that we saw that. You showed yourself strong and mighty. And we even saw, God, the hearts of communities coming together, people pulling together, God, helping each other. Thank you for the spirit of love and community that we saw on this week. We thank you for that. We bless you for, God, even we saw your church this week, God, your church, your body, bringing food to people, helping people, God. Thank you for doing what you've called us to do. Thank you for being the hands and feet of Jesus, giving us those opportunities. And so we just praise you for that. Now, bless our time together today in a great way. We pray for a time for God of impact, not for a time of impress, but that you would just do a great work today through your word and through our coming together. Let us be strengthened by just our coming together, our comments, and encouraging each other. God, thank you for this time. Bless it in a great way. We pray, God, we continue to walk worthy of the calling that you have on our lives, that we not get lazy, that we not become weary and well in this season. But we pray, God, that you would just strengthen us and just keep us and help us to stay focused on what you've called our church, what you've called our body to do. We pray for solutions. We pray for divine intervention. We pray for your wisdom. God, because we know that 2020, you've got some work for us to do as a body. And God, our answer is yes. Whatever it is, God, our answer is still yes to you. Now give us the plans. Give us the direction. God, order our steps this year to be an impactful church in the community that you have assigned to us. Thank you for what you have placed in our hands. And God, we give it back to you. We pray for our children, oh God, as we're still struggling with the school and virtual learning and all of that. We pray for your favor, Father God, for them. We pray for just for wisdom for the teachers and administrators and all the things they have to get done. We just pray you would intervene in a great way that the children could finish the year strong, God, and successfully. We pray for all those who need work and need employment, who need financial breakthroughs. We thank you that you're still the God who owns the cattle of a thousand of the hills. We thank you that you're still God who provides for us. Even when we are asleep, God, you are working things out on our behalf. You are causing things to work together for our good. So I praise you that needs are being met according to your riches in glory, that families, Father God, are being strengthened, that all that we stand in need of, those from Bethsaida, and not just Bethsaida, God, but in the community, in other places of the world. God, there's so many needs, but I thank you that you have more than enough to meet all of those needs, and we praise you for that. Now, bless our time together today again in a special way through your word. We pray for Rhema. We pray for due season word that would change us, that would help us to be better than when we came. We thank you that after this series, God, that our lives will be changed forever, that we would better have a relationship with you, a stronger prayer life, a more meaningful prayer life with you. And God, we thank you for that. Everyone that's on this call on today, everyone that's even connected to Bethsaida, I pray your blessings over them today. Bless their coming in and their going out. In the name of Jesus, God, those that need healing, we pray healing from the crown of their head now to the sole of their feet. Pray for Sister Busby, God, and Vivian and Pat G, all of our seniors, Aunt Thelma, God, all of our seniors. We lift those mothers, God, of our church to you. We pray you continue to strengthen them on today and preserve them. In Jesus' name, God, we thank you. We bless you for our pastor, a man after your own heart, that you continue, Father God, to give him vision, give him clarity of thought, and give him direction as to where you would want to take this body to the next level. We know against all the challenges, God, that's when you work your best work. When we go through hard times, we see you at your best. So I pray that as 2020 progresses on, that you begin to give our pastor, God, clear thinking, clear vision as to what you have ordained and assigned for our body. It's in Jesus' name, God. I thank you and I praise you. I feel that. Oh, God, thank you. I bless your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, we praise you that new things are coming out of Bethsaida. There's a greater work coming, and we praise you for that. Thank you that you're raising up your people for such a time as this. In Jesus' name, we praise you and we thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We thank Cheryl Sutton for leading us in prayer on this morning. And I thank, we see many of you still coming in. So thank you so much for your participation in this morning's podcast gathering. Now let's get into the word again upon this morning. We're going to a book that we visited a couple of weeks ago, a week or two ago. That's the book of Nehemiah. I really didn't want to go back to the book of Nehemiah, but I think it was the best choice to share with you what I think God wants us to hear upon this morning. So Nehemiah, chapter 2, and we want to begin at verse 4. Nehemiah chapter 2, beginning at verse 4. I think the last time we was in Nehemiah, we was on chapter 1. Today we want to take you to chapter 2, verse 4, and we want to consider what God has to say to us upon this morning. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4. We're going to read verses 4 through verse. See, I don't want you to. Verse 4 through verse 12. And then verse 17 through verse 20. All right. First, let's read verses 4 through 12. Then the king said to me, "What do you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servants have found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it." Then the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him, "How long will your journey be? And when will you return?" So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Furthermore, I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the regions beyond the river, that they must permit me to pass through till I come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertain to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy." And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I went to the governors in the region beyond the river and gave them the king's letter. Now the king had sent captains of armies and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard of it, they were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then I rose in the night, I and a few men with me. I told no one what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me except the one on which I rode. Let's go to verse 17. Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies in waste, and how its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them, the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and all, let me read that again. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also the king's word that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hand to this good work. But Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard of it. They laughed at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? So I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build, but you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. Amen. We are blessed by the reading and hearing of God's holy word. God is certainly a good God. Listen, today I want to talk about from the subject or from the title, we're still under the series now, Please God, or Please God. But I want to talk about today's text, or today's title is for this sermon is After the Amen. After the Amen. And what I mean about that is often we end our prayers with that word, amen. That's one way we tell, if it's a corporate prayer, we tell everybody that we're finished and ready to go to the next step in the gathering. Amen has become like, it really means let it be so. We're asking God, hey, God, let it be so. What I've prayed about, let it be so. And so where we end our prayers usually. But I want to focus today, before when we looked at Nehemiah, we focused on the stuff that came before the amen. And how Nehemiah's prayer was very close to what we call the Lord's Prayer, also known as the disciples or the model prayer. And it, we looked at those petitions again, that we were petitioning for God's, his name to be glorified and his kingdom to come, his name to be hallowed, which is the same thing, basically being glorified, and his kingdom to come and his will to be done. So we see those three petitions for God, and then we see the three petitions for us as we are trying to fulfill those that are above, that he would give us provision, pardon, and protection. And we saw how Nehemiah followed what Christ taught in how to pray. And we saw that. So that was before the amen. Today, and that was, and we looked at basically that Nehemiah praying in chapter 1. Today, as we look at chapter 2, we want to see what happens after the amen. Let me share and try to get you to come along. Make sure you're with me on where I'm going. In its truest sense, amen is not the end of the prayer, but the beginning of obedience. Praying about something without, let me put it like this. After the amen, God often, if not always, would have us to become part or in whole the answer to our prayer. Do you realize that when you are praying for something, in a way you are volunteering for something. This is what I'm saying. Don't miss that. When you are praying for something, in a way you are volunteering for that thing. When we pray that God's name be hallowed or glorified, or God be shown to be so great and renowned that it separates his name from every other name. When we pray for his kingdom to come as it is now in part and will be one day in full, and as we pray for his will to be done, when we look at that after our prayer, and when we get more specific about it, some of the things that we pray about, God will have us to be the answer. Are you listening to me? So often when you pray for something, you're also volunteering. When we pray that his name be hallowed or glorified, that means we are volunteering to live our lives in a way and to do the things that will lead to God's name being glorified. When we pray that his kingdom come, we are volunteering to allow him to be king of our lives and to share him with others that he might become the king of their lives. So his kingdom will grow until that day when he returns, and he will be Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings, and every knee will have to bow. And then when we say, Lord, that will be done, we're volunteering to say, I'm going to be the first one to do your will. Your will is going to be the thing that leads and guides my life. So as we pray, my brothers and sisters, it's really a way of volunteering to do God's will. And so after the amen, it becomes time for action. So the prayer doesn't really stop at the amen, because then we began to live the prayer in our lives. So often we just pray and leave it there and stay within our own convenience and comfort, and we expect God to do everything. We expect God to go down to the hospital, God to go to the nursing home, God to feed the poor. We want God to do everything. And God is saying to us, no. Because we're asking God to do for us what God has asked us to do for him. So what I'm saying is, when we end our prayer, when we get the amen, when I say it, because we usually end every prayer with amen. Some do, but some don't. But basically I'm saying, when you finish praying, then we have to go with the plan. It's like praying. If you think of praying maybe as like a huddle, like when an athletic team huddles, regardless of what type of team that is, if it's a team and they huddle and come up with a play. If they huddle and come up with a play, and then the coach or whoever, I guess the coach or would be the representative of God, would give them the play, and then they go out on the field and they don't run the play. Sometimes it's like that's how we are. We pray, and then God gives us the play, but we don't go out and run the play. We leave it at prayer. Prayer should not be the end, but it should be it should only be a beginning of obedience. Because when you share it with God, you just said, these are the things, God, that we want for you and your kingdom. And I'm willing to be a part of what you're doing. So you just can't pray for a better country. Sometimes you have to pray and vote. Or sometimes you got to pray and protest. You just can't, when you see a need, say, well, I'm going to pray for you, because sometimes God would have you to meet that need. So when you pray for somebody or for something, sometimes you're volunteering to be the answer to the thing that you're praying for. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. So dependent prayer should lead to deliberate action. Dependent prayer should lead to deliberate action. All right, let's go to the Word of God, what we just looked at. I said, and I want you to actually, I told y'all the last couple of weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I asked you, hey, to read, try to read the whole, at least chapter 8 of Nehemiah, if not the whole book. It's not that long of a book. But if you remember the last sermon, we remember Nehemiah praying in chapter 1, praying that God would give him favor and touch the king's heart. That was his prayer. He wanted God to touch the king's heart and get him in favor with the king, and that was his prayer. Now, I want to tell you, if Nehemiah would have stopped there, the wall would have never been built. But after he prayed, and this prayer, and it was a season. I told you it was a season of prayer that lasted about 4 months. And in that season of prayer, you get strategy and clarity. And he got strategy and clarity during that season of prayer. And we're going to see, it says here that God put some things in that season of prayer. God put some things on his heart. When we pray, season, session, a second, sometime God will put some things on our heart. And then after the amen, the thing that God put on our heart, it becomes our challenge to live those things out in our lives. For almost, I think we're about on day 34. Yeah, I think we're on about day 36 of our prayer initiative. Now, we should have been doing a lot of praying, a lot of going to God, a lot of sharing with God, sharing intimate with God, and spend a lot of time with God. What I want to ask you this morning is that time, the intimacy, the praying you've been doing, the minutes and hours you have been spending in prayer during this 40-day season, what has God been sharing with you? It's a dialogue. It's not only you sharing with him, but it's you also listening and him putting things in your heart, or him showing you things in the Word. Amen. Or even as you walk around community or the job, he's showing you things that need to be done, because he's trying to bring clarity to the plan that he has for your life. So it can't just stop with the prayer. It has to be a plan that's put in faith and us walking out, living out what God has communicated through us as we've spent time with him. That's what happens after the amen. That's what I want the folks to be. After the amen, this is where we need to be, after the amen. So don't think when you say amen, that's it. I can just go sit down now and be comfortable and go back to my life and live my life like I've been living. No, amen has a challenge. When you say amen, you're saying let it be. And the way it's going to often become is you becoming involved and God using you to accomplish what the prayer, what that time of prayer and intimacy of God that God shared with you. That's kind of why I shared that song at the beginning. And those of you that came in early enough to hear the beginning song, use me, Lord, because that's the attitude I need We need to lead prayer with now, Lord, that you've communicated with me what you're doing in this world. Let me be a part. Don't do it without me. Let me be part of it. Let me be part of this. Use me, Lord, in thy service. That should be what we do after the amen. Ask God to use us in this area. So Nehemiah prayed in chapter 1 for God to give him favor and that the king would hear him, and he made to prosper and he give him mercy. And then in chapter 2, we see God opening that door. And then we see Nehemiah. I'm going back to chapter 2, verse 4. Then the king said to me, what do you request? That's the door opening. God's going to open the door. So I prayed to the God of heaven. He said, God, you'd open the door. But then I said, that's one of those second prayers. He spent some time to pray to God before he answered the king. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I add that you will send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tomb, that I may rebuild it. He prayed the prayer because he was concerned about the condition in Jerusalem. Now, after the amen, after that prayer has concluded, he's saying, I want to be the answer to the prayer I prayed. Our challenge often is to be the answer to the prayer that we have prayed. He said, I want to be the answer. And God had blessed the king to give him everything he needed to be the answer. The king gave him passage, gave him a permit so when he go through the other cities, and then he gave him the materials that he needed, the provision of the materials to build, rebuild the wall, and also he gave him protection. Amen. So he gave him protection and provision. He gave him everything he needed. Notice, he blessed him because of Nehemiah being about doing what God would have him to do. When your life is about doing God's will, glorifying his name, bringing about his kingdom, God will put his support behind that, will open doors, make ways, provide whatever support is necessary in order to enable you to be used by him in doing his will. Let me share three things quickly. Three points, if you want to put it down, three words, whatever you want to put. The first thing, on the other side of amen, as we began to be obedient to the prayer we've just prayed, God wants to use our abilities. We all have God-given abilities. God did not just give us those abilities by chance. He did not give us those abilities randomly. He gave those abilities because he had an assignment for you, even and for me, even before we knew he had an assignment for us, he gave us some abilities. Now, I want to say here that one of the abilities that we see so evident and there's so much evidence of as we open these beginning chapters of the book of Nehemiah is that Nehemiah had the ability to lead. God had given Nehemiah the ability to lead. Let me show you that. And he's given you an ability. And that's what I'm trying to say to you. Whatever ability he gives you, after the amen, God needs us to be his hands and his feet. This is what we need. He says, okay, you be my hands and my feet. You use the ability that I give you to be an answer to this prayer. the prayer you just prayed. Nehemiah had extraordinary leadership skills, and we see it all throughout this book. I'm just going to quickly go over some. And when you look at chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, he identified the problem. Chapter 1, verse 4 through 11, he spent time in prayer. Every good leader ought to spend some time in prayer, especially if you're a godly leader. Chapter 2, verse 1 through 9, some of the verses we just read, he approached key influencers, like the king. He went to the king. If you're going to lead something, sometimes you have to go to people with influence that have what you need and expect God to move those persons to be part of his support system for the great challenging mission that he has you in plan that he had. God will take care of you through others, but a good leader had to know how to approach others. He assessed the situation in chapter 2, 11 through 15. And then in verses 16 and 17, we see him casting the vision. Said, this is what we need to do. He cast the vision for all the others. And then after he cast the vision, he encouraged them. As he was casting the vision, he encouraged them to buy into the vision because of what God was already doing. He gave examples of what God was already doing. And that fact that, hey, the reason why we need to catch this vision because God is already doing things to show us this is his plan. And then the people bought in, and then he organized the people and got them working. Nehemiah abilities of being a great leader allowed him to become God's hand and feet and to rebuild a wall for God. God did it, because he would say later on that God did it, but he used Nehemiah and all those with him. He used their hands and feet. We can't just pray and expect God on everything. Now, some things is just impossible. He is specialized in doing the possible. But something we can do. And we got to be his hands and feet. As individuals and Bethsaida as a church, we have to be the answer to the prayer that we pray. He uses our abilities just like he used Nehemiah's abilities. Now go. If you still got the hope, you still got your Bible over, go to back to chapter 2 in verse, let's see what verse I want you to look at. Chapter 2, let's start at 17. I'm talking about today's ability, then I'm going on to my second point. Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies in waste, its gates are burned with fire. Okay, so he knows the problem. He sees the problem. He pinpoint the issue. And now he's focusing those that are with him on it. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be in reproach. He's saying, with this wall torn down and burned like it is, it's a reproach to God. It makes God look bad. So we need to rebuild it. He pinpointed the problem. And then he said, and I told them the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also the king's word that he had spoken to me. So he pinpointed the problem. He said it was approach. And he said, now come, that's the casting of the vision. Come, let us rebuild the wall. And then he kind of encouraged them. He said, the way he encouraged him, verse 18, because I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good to me, and also the king's word. He said, you know, Nehemiah told him, hey, I saw the situation. I prayed for God that the king would give me mercy. And then this is the way the king responded. So I know it was God. The king responded by, hey, allowing me to come, giving me a path, giving me provision to build a fence, and then giving me protection. So you see how God is working. God wants this thing to happen. So this is the vision, y'all. Catch the vision. Nehemiah uses his abilities. And then he said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hand to this good work. They said, they responded. I'm sorry. They're responding. They're responding to Nehemiah's casting of vision. And they're saying, let us rise and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. Nehemiah cast the vision. They caught the vision. And they were excited about the vision because of the way he presented the vision. And then later on, we see him organizing them in the way they rebuilt the wall. He had the ability of being a great leader. God uses our abilities. But not only does God use our abilities after the prayer, but he also uses our attitude. Because you can have good ability and bad attitude, and then the wall still won't get built. One of the things that, one of the ways we know of the attitude of Nehemiah is that Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. Therefore, he was close to the king, and he enjoyed all the comforts of being around the king and in the palace. He had the best of everything. He had the best food, the best beds or whatever they slept in those days. He had the best housing because he was probably in the palace. He had the best of everything. He had everything he needed. He could have ignored what was going on in Jerusalem. But when the brothers told him about the wall being and the condition, he was willing to leave his comfortable palace and go to a place where the wall was burnt and there were many challenges and danger. He was willing to go from the palace and to go ahead and put his hands to work for God in a place with many challenges and dangers. That reminds me of, I think it's in Philippians 2, where Paul said, let this mind that's in Christ, which means the attitude. let the mind of Christ be, or let the attitude that Christ had be our attitude. Because Christ left heaven in all the glory and comfort and majesty and all the greatness of heaven to come all the way down and suffer man's ridicule and finally the cross and the excruciating pain of the cross, he did that for us. Now, so I see a lot of that attitude in Nehemiah, the attitude to come from comfort to challenges, the same way that Christ came from the comfort of heaven to the challenges of the cross. That attitude should be in us. It's an unselfish attitude. It's an attitude of being looking out for the good of others, especially for the good of God, for God's greatest good, for his name to be lifted up, for his kingdom to come, for his will to be done. That's that. So not only did Nehemiah have the abilities, but Nehemiah also had the right attitude. God will use your abilities, but God needs to, for you also to have the right attitude for him to use you. Because sometimes when we got abilities, we get beside ourselves and it messes up our attitude. God said, hey, after the prayer's over, I want to use your abilities. But I also want to use the right attitude that's in your life. You need to have the same attitude that Christ had when he came down and he made sacrifices so that he died so that others could be saved and lives could be changed. After the prayer, after the amen, he wants to use your abilities. After the amen, he wants to use your attitude. But I got one more. After the amen, he also wants to use your anointing. Because God has given each of us an anointing, a gift, something that allows you to go beyond your own ability. It's good. Now, he gave you some abilities, some God-given abilities, and hopefully through his spirit can give you that right attitude. He want to use those things for you to be answered to the prayer, but also he realized if you're going to be the answer to the prayer, you also need an anointing. And some of the things that I see Nehemiah, some of the decisions that Nehemiah made, some of the things that he was able to do in building this wall, and I think 52 days, is because he had the anointing. God had gave him, I think, a special anointing. And when his situation came up, to have plans and strategies that when the enemy threw everything they could at him, he was able to still to proceed with God's plan. So my brothers and sisters, what God is asking us for is once you come to the end of the prayer, you come to the beginning of obedience, and I want to use you. I want to use your abilities, your God-given, your natural ability that God gave to you. I want to use your attitude that the Spirit brings about, and also that anointing of wisdom or whatever. As the anointing comes that when you're following his will, he gives you insight and the ability to go be. He gives you it gives you some things where you can go above your ability. He gives you in the spirit things that you can't do in the natural. Because he wants to use you, your hands, your feet, to make your world different. You prayed about the world changing. You prayed about his name being glorified. You prayed about his will coming. You prayed about what God wants. I hope you've been praying about what God wants and not just going to God with a shopping list. And if you've been praying about God wants, God said, I think, all right, you praying about what I want. Okay, that's good. That's the first move. Now, because that's the way I'm getting you in tune to what I want, and you're getting in tune, and you're beginning to want what I want. Now, after the amen, I need you to live the prayer. You said the prayer. You shared the prayer. But now I need you to live the prayer. I need you to become my hand and my feet. There's a guy. I think his name. I can't pronounce his last name that good. His name is Nick Vujicic. I think Nick Vujicic. He's a Christian guy who's ministers and shares all over the world. He says he said what he does is stand at the gate of hell. It wave people in a different direction. Say, go do this, don't go in this way. And that's the job that God gave him, to keep people out of hell. Well, Nick says, now, Nick does not have legs. You may have seen him on some of the Christian shows. He does not have legs, and he does not have arms. But he said, even though he does not have legs and he does not have arms, that God has chosen him to be his hands and his feet. And he's went all over the world sharing Christ, bringing people to Christ, evangelizing. What I'm asking you, my brothers and sisters, and what God is asking of all of us, is at the end of the prayer, will you begin to follow me in obedience and become answers to the prayer that you've been praying? That's the way I want to change the world. Kind of reminds me of what I told you, Mother Teresa said. Mother Teresa said, prayer doesn't always change things. A lot of time prayer changes us and we change things. Nehemiah prayed in chapter 1, and in chapter 2 we see him in 3 and 4 and 5 we see him carrying out, walking out, living out, working out the thing that he prayed for. So, today will you say, God, use my abilities. God, give me the right attitude so you can use me. And God, I need that anointing. Because sometimes my best is not going to be enough. And I need you to take me to another level. And I know that can only come with your anointing. There is a God that's able to do that. We pray for God to do great things. We expect, this is the order. We pray for God to do great things. We expect God to do great things. And then, my brothers and sisters, we work for God to do great things. As we are coming to the end of the prayer initiative, it ought to be, if you wasn't already there, it ought to be a new beginning for us to say, God, yes, we're going to be people of prayer. But also, we know you don't want us just to be people of prayer, but you want us to be answers to prayer. Answers to the prayer of others, answers to the prayers that we pray. And as we become answers of prayer, we know, just like you did for Nehemiah, we'll have your backing and your support. God, that's what we want to happen in our lives. So my brothers and sisters, as I come to a close this morning, that's my challenge to all of us, best family, is that as we are praying, as we now, you've got started praying, the initiative is just to get you started. Hopefully, or maybe some of you that were already started, just to kind of remind you of the importance of prayer. Don't use prayer like an emergency room. You know, the only time you stop at that emergency room, you just don't stop by the emergency room and say, hey, how you doing? Hello. The only time you stop at the emergency room when you got an emergency. And then sometimes that way prayer is out of the emergency room. Don't just wait and pray when you get in trouble. If you wait and pray when you get in trouble, I want to tell you, you're already in trouble. Prayer should be a con. So that's what this prayer initiative has been about. So as we go through the prayer initiative, the 40 days in on Thursday, I think, but I don't want you to, we definitely don't want to stop praying on Thursday, because the initiative means getting started. We are just getting, these 40 days, we're saying, hey, God, we're just getting started with you. Ain't no telling what we allowed to do. We just getting started. God. Ain't no telling what you want to do with our lives. But now as we've been praying, God, now we see not only must we pray, but we must become answers to our prayer. So that's why I want to use you. Think about that. Have you been an answer to the prayer you've been praying? A lot of time when people have needs, we just can't just be prayer. We got to be answered to the prayer. Gabby's going to come bring us a song. Won't you listen to the song as she's praying, as she brings it? And I want to challenge you. Let's become answers to prayer. Let's become answers to prayer. If you're here listening to us on the podcast and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior and Lord, this morning is a good day to make that decision. Or this afternoon, I'm not sure what time it is where you are. But today is a good day to make that decision to put your trust in Christ. Christ loved you so much that he left heaven, came down and endured the excruciating pain of the cross, died on the cross as a payment for our sins so that we could again, our sins could be forgiven and we could again have fellowship and intimacy with God. That's what he done for us. And he says that we'll just trust him and put our faith in what he's done, he'll change our lives and he'll use us to be answers of prayer. Would you consider that this morning? If you don't know Christ, it's a good time to get to know him. You have a comment section if you want more answers. You can always call us at our church phone number, 903-915-0865. And we have somebody to lead you how you can accept Christ as Savior. Are we ready for our song? And then we'll be back after the song. Continue in prayer. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's time for us to do something. And the amen on the other side of the amen. Thank you for joining us today. Now, a couple of quick announcements. If you want to give, support the church, especially our members. There won't be a collection today at the church. But we're hoping if the weather permits, we'll be able to be there next Sunday. And if for some reason we can't be there, we'll still have that a way for you to give next Sunday. We also invite you to give online. If you need to help with that, we can show you how to do that. But we will be either if we should be having church. I'm hoping and praying. The only thing we worry about, the temperature should be good, but we worry about there's a slight chance of rain. But hopefully we can be at the church next Sunday. But if not, we'll still have maybe the leadership team, some leadership team members up there to collect your donations or contributions if you would like to support the church. Thank you again. I'm glad to see all of you come through the storm. It's been a rough week for a lot of you. We wish we could have done more as a church, and we're still going to be trying to find the thing. But a lot of the stuff that we wish we could do, even that we can't, we wish we could give you, the stores don't even have it to help you out. So we'll be finding other ways maybe to help. We thought about, we heard some churches being warming centers. We thought about that. But then at the same time we thought about that, our church was out, our lights and things were out temporary. So we hope and pray that we still find ways in the future to help, because we know people are hurting from those things. We just thank God that most of the lights and things have come back on. We're hoping that the grocery stores and the water and gas stations begin to open back. So we're praying for that. And of course, if you can help somebody and getting some of those things that they're in need, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be answers to prayer. Okay, now are there any announcements? All right, there's no announcements. We'll be actually looking forward to seeing you next week. If anybody needs, most of you that have or that give online got your receipts, because it's easier to give people. I can get them to you through your emails if you give online. If you don't give online, thank you so much for still being generous. We appreciate that you still give however you can. So if you need those receipts, just contact us and we'll get them to you as quick as we can. We'll find some way to get them to you pretty quick. We just need to know who it is. And we'll have them there hopefully next week when we meet at next week's service. All right, I think I'm trying to make sure we've covered everything. We'll probably be having our church family meeting in March, maybe the first Sunday in March. So be thinking about that also. We'll share some of our vision and next year, and maybe we'll be praying about how we're going to come back in the building, all the different stages of protocols. So we'll be praying about all that. So just pray with us that God will give us wisdom on how to do that in a way that everybody is kept as safe as we can. There's no 100% way, but we just want to be as safe as we can as far as a pandemic is concerned. Thank you so much for joining us today. And as you leave, just want to put on your mind, amen. On the other side of the amen, try to be the answers to the prayer that you're praying, because God is a great God. Pray, because when we either going to pray, P-R-A-Y, or we going to be pray, P-R-E-Y. So I challenge you to pray. Thank you so much for joining us. Continue to pray for one another. Have a great day in the Lord.